I was thinking to myself, Donette and Keith probably feels like that I probably ought to be preaching out of the book of Job tonight or this morning, but they lost their shop building, everything in it, tornado, lightning strike hit their shop and caught it on fire and lost everything, his truck, everything he had. I say that everything he had, all the hunting stuff, fishing stuff, I mean, what else are they left? We're not going to open that can of worms this morning. No, they do have each other, have their life, have their little dogs made it out. So that was the dog house. So there was no lives lost. So we got a lot to be thankful for. And it's material things. Material things can be replaced. And if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 21. And I've read this passage many, many times. There's a lot of information, a lot transpires in Genesis chapter 21, chapter 22. And I've read it many times, but I've never seen what I seen here as I was studying, and the correlation of the Old Testament with the New Testament. And I'm going to try to share with you what the Lord showed me. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 28, Genesis chapter 21 and 28. And it said, Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me. Notice this next phrase, that I have digged a well, this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and Pichol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And listen to this next phrase. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. We have lost the sight of value in this country. Things don't mean what they used to mean. I can, you know, my little house out there that we got, that we live in a little metal shop building, and that's all it is. A lot of you have been in it. I mean, it's nothing fancy. Brother Isaac, I could say that that's worth $500,000. And to me, it may be worth that, but the value is what somebody is willing to pay me for it. The realtor may say that it's worth $750,000, but it all boils down to what is somebody willing to give me for it. It's not about sentimental value. Sentimental value, that's where my children was raised. We've got a lot of memories there. There's a lot of things that have taken place and transpired while we have lived there. But none of that has to do anything with the value of what somebody will give me. This area of land that we're talking about here this morning, southern Israel, God gave that to Abraham. But it is a desert. Southern Israel, there was nothing there. There was no water. It was a barren land. You know what, church? We've got something here. Somebody was just telling me Wednesday night, said, there is the presence of the Holy Spirit is in this place. God is moving at the house of prayer. There are churches around, and I'm talking about churches. I'm not talking about VFW halls and all this other mess that we can go to and be a part of. I'm talking about churches that are around in this community that the power of God is not there. It is a desert. It is a barren land. There are places that they no longer sing hymns. There are places they no longer preach out of the Word of God. They're using AI now, Brother Virgil. Before that, they was preaching about movies that they'd watched on television. I used to work with a young man that went to a prominent church in Claremore, and he would come to work on Monday morning and tell me that they was preaching about some movie. At that time, it was Fireproof. I don't find any scripture in that movie. I don't find anything that I can get out of that movie. I mean, it's a good movie. It's not the bread of life. I need the Word of God. This area, they only take sheep. Roughly 25 miles in is about as far as they'll go in southern Israel. The shepherds will, even to this day, with their herd of sheep, because they have to get back by evening time to be able to water them. Abraham decided that I'm going to dig a well. That's something that is unheard of in that day and time. Today we want to dig a well. We hire somebody with a machine, a drilling rig to come out. They drill down, hit water. In a matter of a few hours, they pull the machine, they're done. But you're talking about digging a well in a desert country. Have you ever thought about how you're going to dig a well in sand? You dig down a foot, and 6 inches of sand caves in on you, and you've got a 6-inch well. It took some preparation, took some planning. And from what I could find out is they had to carry rock in that was hewn. They would make a circle, lay them rocks in a circle on top of the surface. Every rock had to be hewn and cut in a semi-pie shape to where they would interlock together. And then, Brother Virgil, they would begin to go in the center of that middle ring of rock and begin to dig. And as they would dig, the rock would start to fall. They would lay more rock around the top, and the rock would fall. That's the way you dig a well in a sandy country. I'm thankful for the rock of my salvation, the rock that I can go to, the rock that is stable, the rock that never fails, the rock that never lets me down. This world tries to cave in around me. Thank goodness there's a rock that I can go to. As they begin to dig and they got down, I can just imagine them getting down and finally they left word go back up that hey, the sand is getting moist. The sand is getting wetter. And finally they got down to bedrock and they found the well. They found the water. Now, the interesting thing about this, you know, the Philistines, the enemy, they don't care if you dig. They don't care if you dig a well. They just don't want you having access to the water. The enemy don't care that we've got a church here on Highway 66. You'll find all throughout Scripture, the Philistines, they would let them plant the crops. They would let them work the crops and to hoe and to work around them. But harvest time come. And the Philistines would come in and take what was not theirs. The enemy is still that way. He don't care if we have a church. He just don't want the Spirit moving in here. He don't want us having services like what we've been having here. I don't know really what happened. I can't find any other information other than what we have recorded in Genesis 21 and verse 25. But the Bible says here that Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servant had violently taken away. The enemy wants what we've got. He wants what you've got. But I'm here to tell him that, devil, you can't have it. This is mine. Abraham made a covenant with Abimelech. Abimelech's servants, they said the covenant is with Abimelech, it's not with us. We're going to destroy this. We're going to take it by force. Devil, you cannot have it. It's mine. The water. I'm reminded of what Jesus said at the woman. He met at the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give thee shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There is a well flowing from Emmanuel's veins. Not only did he dig a well, but he planted a grove. Now, I'm going to run down a rabbit trail here, and I'm not going to go very far. I just want to get you to thinking. He planted a grove. This is in a desert land. Where did the wood come from that he was going to use to sacrifice Isaac? Got you thinking. There was no trees. Isaac is already born. I believe, and I'm going to leave this here. It's not what I'm preaching about. I told you it's a rabbit trail. I believe Isaac was a grown man. The grove that he planted, every commentary, everything you'll read about this grove, it is, in the Hebrew, a shell. It's not just a grove of trees. He planted a shell. A shell is something that means something to the Hebrews, to the Israelite nation. It is, in specific, a tamarisk tree. A tamarisk tree is a tree that will survive in the desert land. The only tree that I ever find that Abraham planted was right here. He planted this tree because he knew that it, when he planted it, its roots would go deep. and go deeper and deeper and deeper until it found the water. You can't have a tree without the well. He planted that tree and it grew. And it got a hold of the water. And one of the things about this desert country is that it's high in mineral deposits. Salt in particular. Do you know salt, what it does to plants? It kills them graveyard dead. I was telling Brother Keith the other day, you can put vinegar on. A lot of people think they have to use Roundup. I don't like Roundup. But you can use vinegar, and you can spray your weeds with it, 30% vinegar, and it'll kill it. It'll kill it faster than Roundup will kill it. And if you don't want it to come back, guess what? You just add a little bit of salt in there with it. And not only will it kill it, but it's not coming back. The salt dries out the leaves, dries out the root system. Without photosynthesis, it's done. But this was an area that was high in salt. But that tree, that tamarisk tree, it has a special ability that God gave it that it takes and absorbs the salt in through its root system and the minerals through its root system, and it expels them through its leaves through the photosynthesis process and the dew in the morning. It drips the salt out. It expels the salt. That keeps all the other vegetation and I'm going somewhere with this morning. Just bear with me. But it kills all the vegetation out that's underneath it and around it that would like to choke it out. You know what he said in the New Testament? Ye are the salt of the earth. When we're tapped into the well, when we're tapped into the living source, the water, the Spirit of God rises up in us. The salt that comes out of us will destroy the enemy that is trying to choke us. This tree, the tamarisk tree that he planted, he said, I've got a well here that I have digged. I want it to be a place that sojourners and people that are traveling through, they can have a place that they can come and find refreshment and find a place that they can get a cool drink of water. So I'm going to plant a tree here by this well. So he plants this tree. Now this tree has another unique characteristic that I found out while I was studying. It takes about 400 years for this tree to reach maturity. 400 years. In verse 34, it said, "And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days." Do you know how long he was there? About 75 years. Brother Robert, he planted that tree knowing that he would never see that tree in maturity. But he said, "I'm going to plant it for my children, for my children's children, for Isaac, for Jacob." You'll find out even that Elijah sat underneath the tamarisk tree. "I'm going to plant it because Moses may wander by here one of these days. I'm going to plant it because there is more to it than just me." I wish people would quit being so selfish. I know we're not shouting this morning, so I might as well just go on. Every one of us is going to die. You're either going to be a blessing to your children or you're going to be a curse. But I want my children to say that my dad done his best to pastor the House of Prayer Church, Claremore, Oklahoma, and he done everything he could to plant the tree and to nurture the tree and to share the tree with the world. This tree, it provided shade. It changed landscaping with life. It gave refreshment. It was made possible by a covenant between a king, a man, and a lamb. This tree was for direction. Here Abraham is, even though God have given him this land. He's a stranger, and he's a sojourner in a land that was his. God had given it to him. And then I see that the Philistines, they plugged the well. They took the dirt that was around it and filled it back in. They made it look like everything else that was around it. They made it look like the rest of the surroundings. I want this church to be a church that doesn't look like the other churches. I don't want it to look like the rest of the world. You go to work and you spend 6 days at work around a filthy environment, around people that are of the world, that are of sin. I want to have a place that we could come to where there is a rock, there is a water source, there is a tree that we could come and get away. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 18. It said, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham." They plugged the wells. But you know what? And here's the point of my message. How did Isaac know where the wells was? It was because of the tree. No doubt he said, "I remember whenever I was just a young lad and my father planted these trees. This is the place that I come to that my father had prepared a sacrifice to offer me up as a sacrifice to God. This is the place that he dug the well because of the tree." I thought of that song, Jared, you sing, "Show Me the Cross and I'll Find My Way Home." That tree, I'm still preaching about it this morning. The tree that our Savior hung and died on. The tree that is connected to the water source. You can't have the tree without the well. The enemy would like to dry it up, but there's still a tree. The cross is empty because our Savior rose from the dead. He's not there anymore. But they can't take the tree away. They can't take the cross away. They can't take away what the cross stands for, what it's symbolic of. Our Savior gave His life, shed His blood. And if you want to find the well of living water, you've got to find the tree. When we find the tree, the cross that Jesus hung and died on, our precious Savior bled and died, and we come to the cross and say, Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned, you'll find the well of living water. Come back to the music, if you will. I've done my best to preach this morning. I know that life is rough. Life can throw you some curveballs at times. And it seems like that it caves in faster than what you can dig your way out. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're looking for a cool, refreshing drink of water, you have to find the tree. Find the cross. Jesus, He paid it all. There is a difference. This is not just make-believe, it's not made up. But I've got a hold of something that I know is real. And you know what? The enemy would like to take it. He would like to have what we have here. Stay with me if you will. Maybe there's someone here this morning, but your life is in shambles. Seems like you don't have any direction. You're wandering aimlessly. Can I show you the tree? There is a fountain flowing from Emmanuel's veins. The altars are open. Would there be a one this morning? Be honest and say, I need help. The enemy's blocked me at every turn that I've tried to make. He's closed off every opportunity that I've had. I can't seem to get ahead for getting behind. But Isaac, I know that I'm not off target this morning. Would there be some more? I'm going to tarry just a moment longer. Can I show you the tree? You can't see the tree without seeing my Savior.